Our sermon this morning is offered by the moderator of Metropolitan Community Churches, Reverend Elder Cecilia Eggleston. She brings us the traditional story for the Sunday after Easter, the story that probably resonates with most of us, the story of Doubting Thomas, a man who was not afraid to follow Jesus.
Hello, happy Easter. Easter greetings to you. I'm Reverend Elder Cecilia Eggleston, moderator of Metropolitan Community Churches. And today I'm going to be preaching from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Will you pray with me? Loving God, you sent Jesus into the world so that we may know you face to face. As we celebrate the resurrection of new life in Christ, help us at this time hear your word and live in your name. In the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Some days are just overwhelming, aren't they? You can't really believe that you're in the same 24-hour period. So much has happened, it's hard to comprehend that you're still in the same day. Right at the beginning of this particular day, the first day of the week, an extraordinary event had happened. Several women, including Mary Magdalene, had gone to the tomb, ready to anoint the body of Jesus. But when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. The grave cloths had been discarded, and there were angels telling them that Jesus had risen. The women hurried back to see the disciples. In the Gospel, according to Luke, however, the disciples didn't believe the women. They thought it was nonsense, an idle tale. And we hear how Peter and John rushed to the tomb to check for themselves. John's Gospel tells us that Mary also went back to the tomb, and she stayed there and was the first person to see Jesus alive. But she didn't recognise him. She was so filled with grief. All of this would be plenty for one day. The stone rolled away, an empty tomb, angels, and then the first sighting of the risen Christ. But there was still more. The disciples had gathered together again, behind locked doors, to discuss all that had happened. Still terrified of what might happen to them if the authorities acted against them as followers of Jesus. Jesus suddenly appeared. Not through the door, not in their collective dreaming of what could be. Jesus appeared in flesh, in person. He offered them peace, using a traditional Jewish greeting. How they must have needed that peace. How amazing it must have been, not only to see him, but to hear his voice. Disciples who had run away, had disappeared into the shadows when Jesus was arrested, were now being offered peace. Jesus breathed on them and sent out the Holy Spirit to them. They now heard that they could forgive sins. I wonder if they understood from this that they could forgive each other and they could forgive themselves. What a weight to be lifted from shoulders. What a moment this must have been to see Jesus, the risen Christ, to receive peace to be given the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority to forgive sins. This was all huge. And Thomas missed it all. We don't know whether he was there to hear Mary Magdalene's first and second announcements, or whether he talked with Peter and John, confirming their story of visiting the empty tomb. What we know is that he certainly missed out on this incredible experience of meeting the risen Christ. And he didn't believe it. But remember, Thomas wasn't on his own in his disbelief that day. The disciples didn't believe the women when they came back, telling of the empty tomb and the appearance of angels. Peter needed to see for himself. Mary couldn't believe it when she encountered Jesus in the garden. Her logical conclusion was it must be the gardener talking with her. And like Thomas, she wanted to touch Jesus, to hold him, to know that he was real. And we can understand all these doubts after seeing the body of Jesus wounded, broken, lifeless. This amazing, extraordinary news was simply too much to take in. So we can understand a little if Thomas was struggling. But what sort of person was Thomas? Was he a doubting sort? In John's Gospel, we get a couple of other snapshots of Thomas, which give us a sense of his character. In John chapter 11, we read the story of Lazarus. Now, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, were this family unit that were Jesus's close friends, lived in Bethany. Jesus gets word that his friend is seriously ill. Jesus waits until Lazarus has died and then announces to his apostles that they are going to go to Bethany. His disciples remonstrate with him. This is what John says. "But Rabbi," they said, "a short time ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back." But when Jesus insists he will go, we read this from John 11:16. "Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" Later, in John 14, Jesus is talking with the disciples at the time we now call the Last Supper. He has washed their feet. He has predicted that Judas will betray him and that Peter will deny him. And Jesus says this to his followers: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My parents' house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" A couple of snapshots there of Thomas. This doesn't seem to me to be a man who is a bit flaky. This man wanted to follow Jesus. He said he was willing to die alongside him. His heart must have been broken to see Jesus dying on the cross. All his dreams, all his hopes for what they would do together in the future came crashing down around him at this time. He wasn't going to have his heart broken again by believing some incredible story, even if he trusted those who were telling it. He was going to keep himself, his emotions, his tender heart in check until he could be totally sure of the truth for himself. After a whole week of waiting and wondering, a whole week maybe of the other disciples trying to convince him of what had happened, or maybe starting to judge him because he didn't believe them, Jesus appeared again. He offered Thomas his wounded hands and his pierced side. Can you imagine how it must have been for Thomas? He must have died inside to hear his own words of doubt repeated back to him. He cried out, "My Lord and my God." The relief, the faith restored, the heart renewed, the spirit leaping for joy. So much contained in that moment. How powerful it must have been for all the others to witness that moment of reconnection and recommitment. We may have moments like that when we can hardly dare to believe something so amazing, so affirming, so healing. Our hearts, our spirit, our brain, just too much to take in to make that step of belief. And yet, Jesus speaks to us through his words to Thomas. We are the ones that have not yet seen, yet still believe. We are the ones who are risking as much in our faith journey as Thomas did. The resurrection is for us too. The power of the resurrection to bring new life from aspects of our own lives that feel like death is for each one of us. The miracle of the resurrection reminds us that God's power is beyond our comprehension, beyond our imagination. We step out in faith, trusting God for the journey. Many of us can look back at our own lives, at the lives of our faith communities, and we can see those moments where resurrection has happened, where we have been renewed, where new life has sprung forth in ways that we could not have dreamt were possible. Because where we could see no way, God made a way, and we experienced resurrection for ourselves. New life, renewed hope and purpose. And that breath of Christ offering the Holy Spirit to the disciples is for us too. The breath of God, the Ruach, Sophia, the wisdom of God, these are for us. The forgiveness of sins is for us. The ability to forgive others, the willingness to forgive ourselves. And that peace of Christ that passes all understanding is for us. We can choose to claim it for ourselves in any situation, in any moment. Every morning, I take 3 deep breaths in and out, and on my in-breath, I say, "The peace of God is in me." And on my out-breath, I say, "And all is well." We can claim this peace for ourselves in any situation, in any moment. And in these very challenging times still, when the coronavirus pandemic impacts every aspect of our lives, we need this peace. We trust that the power of the resurrection will renew the face of the earth, mend our broken hearts, and give us hope. And if, like Thomas, we simply cannot believe that at this time, we have those around us who will uphold us in their faith until we can see what we need to see to renew our own faith. And all of those gifts given by the risen Christ to the disciples are given to us too. We are blessed because we believe. Amen.